This week's parasha is Parashas Vayigash. Normally I don't do this, but I wanted to do two dedications. One for Refuah Shleima for Chaim Baruch ben Rachel Malka and Yechiel ben Devorah Miriam, who one was the receiver, one was the giver of a kidney this week. So they both should have a Refuah, a speedy and a complete Refuah Shleima. And then secondly, I'd like to dedicate this piece of Torah as well to the Aliyat Neshama of my uncle, a blessed memory, Zalman Leib ben Shmuel Avram. His Neshama Shavna Aliyah, his Yahrzeit is today. So, the Parsha, we have this incredible event of Yehuda and Yosef squaring off. Ayigash, I love Yehuda. Yehuda steps into Yosef's space and he gives him a very strong worded message, which really ends up causing Yosef to break down and cry. And then eventually he opens up and he tells his brothers who he is. He identifies himself to them. And there are a number of things that happen after that, or as he's revealing himself, that are pretty rough and pretty sharply worded. And then there are things that are in the subtlety of the language that when you look at this is why this is such a monumental event, is that what we're looking at here is a conflict that's been going on in the family of Yaakov, of Yisrael, since their births, basically. And here you're going to see, we see that it's highlighted, the struggle that is always existing between first Rachel and Leah, and now their sons, Yehuda, Judah, and Joseph, Yosef. And this struggle and conflict that exists is something that we as Jews have really, even till today, have struggled with internally, this internal conflict that exists within we as a people. So what happens here? So first things first, we see that Yosef, when he tells the brothers that it's him, it's me, I'm Yosef, but then he says to them, is our father still alive? I'm sorry, he says it actually, Ha'od Avichai, is my father still alive? And the Beis Yalevi says that's obviously that's not a real question, because Yosef knew that Yaakov is alive because he had already asked them, and the Torah tells us that the brothers had told him that Yaakov was well. So as he's saying this, it's a rhetorical question, and it's a very sharp type of, kind of like a jab. You were so worried about our father, you're telling me that you're worried about our father, and then I'm Yosef, the guy you sold into slavery 22 years ago. Were you so worried about our father then? You caused him all this pain? Ha'od Avichai. The thing is that as Yosef then starts messaging to them and he's telling them, listen, go back and get our father, I'll take care of you, etc., etc., I noticed, and if you look at the text and how Yosef is speaking, he never says our father, he says my father over and over again, which should be troubling. You would think that at this point, okay, I got it, he got his jab in, but he keeps on referring to Yaakov as his father. And then at the same time also, he goes out of his way to show favoritism to Binyamin. There's still this issue that's going to occur that we see here, and it's something that's going to continue on. And until today, you have this issue. Now, as a side, just a very unbelievable aside, is that Yehuda had promised Yaakov that he would take care of Binyamin. And just to show you how powerful these actions were, that they had incredible ramifications forever and ever, is that when the Jews get to Israel, when we get to Israel and we settle the land, where is the Beis HaMikdash? Where is the temple reside in Jerusalem? That is the territory that is shared by Judah, the tribe of Judah, of Yehuda, and that of Binyamin. Chazal teach us, the rabbis teach us, that that just didn't just happen, but it goes back to when Yehuda says to Yaakov, I take responsibility. The idea, we have this idea of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zelazad, that each Jew is responsible for one another. The idea of Arvut, of this internal responsibility that we have, that was created when Yehuda told Yaakov that he would take responsibility for Binyamin. And that's why the tribes of Judah and Benjamin are the ones that share Jerusalem. The place of the Beis HaMikdash, the place of the temple, is shared by those two tribes. And it goes back to when Yehuda said to Yaakov, I take responsibility. And we see that Yehuda steps up to the plate here. And he's Vayigash Elav Yehuda, he's going right at Yosef. He doesn't know who this is. He thinks this is the second Taparo of Mitzrayim. And he's active, he puts his life on the line for Binyamin. And that's exactly thousands, hundreds of years later, we have a Beis HaMikdash on the tribes, in the territory of these two tribes, because they became connected so deeply, and it's manifests itself in the Makom HaMikdash, the place of the Beis HaMikdash of the temple. So what happens here is that, and in this context, we have something very interesting. It says that Yosef and Binyamin cried on each other's, well, it says it in a weird way. One, it says that one cried on each other's on necks in the plural, and then it tells us that the other one cried on the neck in the singular. Vayipal al tzavare Binyamin achiv vayevk, and he fell on his brother's neck and wept. And Rashi says, for the temples which were to be in Binyamin's territory, which would ultimately be laid in ruins, he's crying then. So here we are. The setting is Yosef has just revealed himself to the brothers. He's crying on his full brother's neck. And Rashi's telling us, based on a medrash, that he's crying about the Beis HaMikdash, the two Batei Mikdash that are going to be destroyed, that are going to be in the territory of Binyamin. And then Binyamin bracha al tzavarav al Mishkan Shiloh. So there's a difference. The Mizrahi explains where are they getting this from. But the fact that one says savare Binyamin, which is the plural, and then when it talks about Binyamin crying on the neck of Yosef, it's in the singular. So what in the same verse, in the same sentence, you're changing from how you reference neck, next, and like what's going, it should be consistent. There, Chazal, the rabbis tell us, that tells you have to learn something, that something else is going on here, that they're crying about something much deeper. Now, what's this idea of the symbolism of the neck? How does that become the symbol of the temple? And so the answer is that the neck is that which that connects our head, our minds, to the body, the heart. And that's the place of the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash was the place, it's called the Tzavar. It's the neck that connects us to God. And so it's a place of connection. So too the Tzavar, the neck, is that which connects these two definitive parts of a human being, the mind and the heart. So that's the symbolism here. But in the backdrop, the fact that Yosef keeps on saying, my father and not our father, and that there's the way the brothers reacted, they didn't cry. Yosef was crying. The brothers did not cry. The only one that cried was Binyamin. And so we see that even after all these years, there's going to be this tension. And that tension between what ends up becoming Yosef, Joseph, and the 10 tribes, and Yehuda, who's King David and the Mashiach, on the other side, there's going to be that tension that we as a people are going to have internal strife forever and ever, and that the temples will be destroyed because of that internal tension that will play itself out in a destructive way. So then the question is, what's going on? Why do we need this? Or why is this like so deeply embedded in who we are? And perhaps we can answer and say that from the time that Yaakov met Rachel, Rachel, and Leah, that this was what was going to happen. It was from that time that in order to become Yisrael, not just Yaakov, but to become this elevated, lofty nation, that we would have to develop and have a tension between these two forces, two different types of approaches, and to simplify Yosef, more of the external, Yifat Torah of Yifat Mara, this beauty that's external, and the Judah that's more internal, but it's much deeper. There's so many different facets to the Yehuda Yosef personas and what they stand for, the Rachel Leah tension. So that's going to be something that's going to have to be within the Jewish people forever and ever. And we see it here. So the positive is a Yehuda and a Binyamin that become so intertwined that the temple is in their territories together jointly. That's the ultimate in terms of how things should play out. The idea of the Shalom that should ultimately become this idea of Arvos, the idea of being so connected to one another that I can make a blessing and have you in mind and I'm doing it for you. We're one and the same. We're literally one entity. And the flip side is that tension, that inner tension, that we're going to have to battle it out between within ourselves to the point of destruction at times. But that's a necessary complexity. We're not just this uniform one type of person, but we're going to come back, and we see it today. We're so multifaceted, we're coming from so many different places. We've been spread out throughout the four corners of the world, and we're coming back, and we have so many different aspects. At the end of the day, though, we come together as Yisrael. And so we see Ma'aseh Avosim Labanim, the beginning of this tension through the story of Yaakov and his wives and their children. And it culminates here. We see it come together, and we see that it's going to have a lasting positive and negative. The Arva side, and also the flip side, the crying over the destruction of temples, that when the tension overflows and becomes destructive, it will destroy the place of the temple. The prayer should be that we should be able to realize how diverse we are as a people, but that the Arvos is the thing that matters most, and that we should be able to use the tension, not in a negative, but in a positive way, to be able to create. And in that way, we will see the building of the third Beis HaMikdash, B'mehirah Bimeinu.